United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest is artist Chip Beck. His career has included stints as a Navy combat artist, an editorial cartoonist, and a cartoonist for the CIA. 130 of his paintings can be found in government collections at the Navy Art Gallery, CIA Special Operations Division, the National Foreign Affairs Training Institute, the Pentagon, and the U.S. Postal Service. He is in Gettysburg for an artist residency at the Gettysburg National Military Park. Chip, welcome to the Seminary Explores.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, what have you been up to so far? I know that you're pretty early in your residency here. How have you begun?
Well, I've begun by freezing my tush off early in the morning, trying to get up about 6 o'clock to get ahead of the sunrise and going out onto the battlefield park and getting reference photographs of the landscape, the statuary, and the different scenery that is out there when the light is, fresh in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And you're here in November, right around Remembrance Day, which is, of course, very important, connected to the Battle of Gettysburg. Were you able to participate in any of the Remembrance Day?
Yes, I was. I was able to see the parade, which was, of course, in the rain that day, and then the Remembrance ceremonies down at the cemetery, which was rather cold, but very inspiring. Good speeches on the part of all the presenters down there. Mm-hmm. So, again, good chance to get some reference material, photograph Mr. Lincoln and mm-hmm. Other living historians, as they call them.
Mm-hmm. And you're a veteran.
I am a veteran. Navy Reserves, 33 years, some 20 different conflicts around the world.
What's something that people might not expect to know about what it's like to be an artist in battle zones? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of assumptions or questions that people might have. What's just one or two things that kind of come to mind for you?
Well, I guess one thing that people don't realize is that there are still artists that go out and cover conflicts, mm-hmm. And they are called combat artists. Now, a combat artist has to actually see a historical event himself. If he uses somebody else's reference material or just imagines it, then he becomes a military illustrator, not mm-hmm. a combat artist. And at one point, I was described as the only American artist that could be called the Cold War combat artist, because I have seen engagements and conflicts in places that no other artist was at the time. Laos, Cambodia, Angola, mm-hmm. the Western Sahara, Sudan, Beirut, things like that. So that in itself, I was once invited after Desert Storm to be on Good Morning America, and Charlie Gibson said, well, why send out an artist to these places in days of photographs and videography? Aren't you in an anachronism? And I said, yes, but it's fun to be in an anachronism. And that was before digital photography, when an artist can focus right in on what he wants to get, the emotion or the key mm-hmm. things, and you can leave out the telephone poles and the wires and things that are not attractive. But I guess that's the main thing. People are always surprised when a cartoonist or an artist is there in their ranks, but it's kind of fun, especially as a cartoonist, which I also am. You can interject humor, which was a good thing in Vietnam for me, because I had my troops. I mean, I was never in any danger of being fragged by the troops, because I kept them rather amused with some of the cartoons about what was going on around us.
I've also been thinking about, so we're at United Lutheran Seminary, mm-hmm. and some of the graduates of the seminary go into chaplaincy work,
right.
including into military mm-hmm. chaplaincy. And even though these roles are very different, they are still roles which are not directly in combat, and yet your colleagues are. And I was wondering if you had any observations about that that you might say to those doing chaplaincy work in combat zones?
Well, I think the role of a chaplain is very important, and I've seen chaplains very close to the zones of danger, or maybe in the combat zones, and it's very comforting, I think, to troops, especially new soldiers or Marines or sailors that are facing death for the first time, to be able to talk to somebody who can let them know it's okay to be afraid and what comforts they can offer. So I've seen chaplains, leading men in prayer just before they go into battle, and places like Africa or Indochina, and it provides a comfort to the men.
As you're saying too, there's also an immediacy. It's different. Someone who is not there is going to, the interaction is going to be different, in the same way as an artist. If you are there, it's different than seeing secondhand, seeing photographs or hearing other people tell their story. And there's a difference between someone, the kind of conversation that you might have when you return home, and the conversation you're going to have with a chaplain who's right there next to you.
I think so. I can remember going, seeing a chaplain in Vietnam when I was first there, and the discussion we had after he had given his sermon was quite a bit different than what I would have had back in a church in the States, and I was able to ask him some rather pointed questions, and I think I caught him by surprise, even that I had been listening to his sermon and wanted to talk to him about life and death. But the fact that we were both there, and at that time actually both relatively young men at our at the time, was I think different than, as you say, going into a church and listening to a sermon that may be repeated periodically over a year, and more immediacy, as you just said, to the conversation and to the spirituality that you're discussing.
Well, what is your proposal or your sort of goal? I know that sometimes artists say they come and they find that there's a shift in what they thought they were going to achieve, but could you describe something about what your proposal for the time that you're spending here at the Gettysburg National Military Park?
Well, originally the proposal that I submitted for the assignment referred to my background as a combat artist and the fact that I might come here and view things that the military veterans of that time experienced in ways that might be a little different from other artists who perhaps didn't have that military background. And I still hope that that will give me some insights. But as you mentioned, once you get here, things change. It's sort of like they say, no battle plan ever, lasts beyond the first hour or something. And I think that was probably true here in Gettysburg. But I've been going around using the statuary. I call them stone soldiers. And I'm trying to photograph them in ways that I can then manipulate the images and make them a little more painterly and add backgrounds to them, like the sun rises, the sun sets, different foliage, maybe get rid of the commercial background to some of these things. And I'm not sure, I've done a couple posters and photographs and trying to use the stone soldiers as perhaps a platform for words and descriptions that would relate to what the soldiers were feeling and experiencing. But the other thing, I was told by the deputy superintendent, Tom Forsythe, that they like something that hasn't been done before. And I said, said, well, tell me something that hasn't been done before so I can do it. He said, well, you don't know what you don't know. And he couldn't specifically give me a description, but he asked to work with his staff, Christopher Gwynn and others, and say, okay, what little stories of individuals or a larger event hasn't been described a whole lot that you might investigate. So I've got to talk to the staff and then go out and explore a little more. And I've done that in the past in some ways, with particularly with a veteran from World War II, that might give me some inspiration for what I need to do here. This is still early on, my first week.
Yes, so of course. We're catching you right at the beginning.
I'm still wandering around the battlefield at early in the morning, you know, and late at night, and during the middle of the day too. But just trying to see what feelings come out of the experience.
Mm-hmm. And have you had your tour with the Licensed Battlefield Guide yet?
I did. Rob Abbott was the tour guide, a Marine, and it turned out we had some people that we knew in common from, you know, way back when.
But excellent.
He gave a fantastic presentation to both me and my wife, Kathy, as we drove around. I recommend a private tour if anybody can get it from these historians. They're really excellent.
And would you like to say something about the different media that you work in? I know that you're someone who, you really have a spectrum. I mean, you're a cartoonist, but would you like to describe a little bit more of the various media that you use?
Sure. Basically, it's whatever I can get my hands on at the time. I've not really been trained as an artist. My son has, but my degrees are all in political science and foreign affairs. But ever since I was 4 years old, I found out I could draw. And it started out with finger paint, I guess. But I use pencil, pen and ink, acrylics, watercolors, oils if I have the time. And I like to experiment with different media, sometimes combine it. And sometimes it's whatever the convenience is. If I'm traveling somewhere, I often fill up notebooks with pen and ink or pencil, sometimes watercolor washes over top of that, and then go back and do something more refined later on. And
sure.
Also photography. During Operation Desert Storm, which was only 47 days long, I took 4,000 photographs during that period of time, out in the desert and off at sea and things like that, and then came back and drew or painted 35 paintings for the Navy's combat art collection over the period of another 9 months. So photography is also an important tool, and I'm not the first artist to use that. Norman Rockwell used photography. Even some of the Civil War artists used Matthew Brady's photography to do their paintings, and I'm sure modern day artists such as Kunstler and others you know, refer back to photographs to get inspiration and images that they can then put down on canvas or paper.
Something that I think seems very appropriate, this sense of improvisation, when you said you use any material that you can get your hands on, that seems very suited to the approach you need to take when you're in combat settings, right? Mm-hmm. It's like whatever you've got, you try and capture something. And so you approach other things that way, too.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the World War II, World War I artists, some of them were not official artists. They were just troops, like me in Vietnam when I first started doing it. They would get sea ration, you know, box lids or something, and, you know, sketch on the back of that. And when I first started sketching things around me in Vietnam, that was in 1969, I wasn't an official combat artist. I was on assignment with the Marines, Marine Infantry, as a forward observer. So I just used my art to keep myself amused and fill up the dead time, so to speak, when you're bored, or draw cartoons for the troops. And I just, you know, of course you had office supplies that you could get your hands on, not archival paper, but yeah, I found a few notebooks, sketchbooks that I was able to draw on. But now, in my older and wiser times, I always head off on trips with at least a couple different notebooks and sketch pads and, you know, paper. And I brought plenty of that stuff up here with me to Gettysburg.
Very good. Well, I wish you all the best with the rest of your residency and all the surprises that it yet holds. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest has been artist Chip Beck. Thank you for talking with us at the Seminary Explorers. Follow Chip at Chip Beck Combat Artist on Instagram. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.